listening to The Takeaway. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry. Now, we're just a few days from our big national birthday celebration, the 4th of July. And I've been thinking about some of the genuinely amazing rights we enjoy in this country. The right to speak our minds when we want to. The right to remain silent when we need to. The right to a speedy trial. And the right to be judged by our peers. But there is a right we don't enjoy. One that we're denied. Well, hey, wait. Jay, did the player break? You see, one of the rights that we are cut off from, shut out of, we do not have the right to repair our broken stuff. Now, if you're anything like me, you didn't even know that you were being denied this right. Like, but straight up, no joke, thank goodness for the reporting team here at The Takeaway, because without their intervention, I would not have even thought about this issue. But it turns out it's kind of a big deal. All right, let's say you break your smartphone. Something I might have done once, okay, twice. Well, there was also that time it fell off the balcony. Oh, okay, so like five times. But nearly every time I had to make an appointment with the retailer, wait in line, and either pay for a really costly fix or shell out for a new device. What if it didn't have to be that way? For years, right to repair advocates have been pushing for laws that provide consumers and independent repair shops with access to the information, parts, and tools required to fix products like iPhones and more.
Computers, laptops, tablets, PDAs, any kind of home telephone system, home electronics, consumer electronics, TVs, household appliances, small appliances, large appliances, tractors. My name is Gay Gordon Byrne. I'm the executive director of the Digital Right to Repair Coalition, much more easily known as repair.org.
Organizations like the Repair Association have been instrumental in getting right to repair legislation introduced at the statewide level. And the movement's finally gaining traction at the national level too. In June, federal legislation called the Fair Repair Act was introduced in Congress. Getting that passed would be a big step, according to advocates like Gordon Byrne.
It's actually not so much about self-repair as it is about making sure that anybody that wants to fix something has the opportunity to do it. If you as a consumer want to fix your stuff, you can, but it's much more important that a small business be able to know that they can get the parts and the tools and the service documentation that they need to offer the service.
After learning about all of this, I was pretty convinced that right to repair is important, but I wanted to understand more. So I made a call to the first person I could think of.
My name is Shalisha Morgan, owner and founder of Geek and Hills Cell Phone and Computer Repair, based out of Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
Now, y'all got to understand that after I met Shalisha, I started handing over all of my repairs to this Geek in Heels. Here's why.
At my business, I charge $49.99 for an iPhone 6 repair. If a client were to take their phone to the Apple store, Apple would charge them $129 for that very same repair. This is absurd. Just as consumers have the right to take their cars to any dealership or mechanic to have it repaired, we all should have the very same right to do so with our devices. Post-COVID, families are still scraping to get by. Every single dime counts. I had to turn away a client yesterday who wanted to have their cracked TV screen fixed. Why? I literally could not locate the parts anywhere. Manufacturers are making these devices throwaway devices, causing us, the consumers, to have to go back out and buy them and replace them again. Girl, Apple, bye.
We've been talking about the right to repair movement in the U.S., and I have Matthew Galt, staff writer at Vice's Motherboard, with me. Good morning, Matthew.
Hi, thank you so much. So wonderful to be here.
Can you talk a little bit about why there's been an increased interest and momentum surrounding this?
Everyone has a cell phone that's broken that they couldn't get repaired. Everyone's broken a laptop. And then over the course of the pandemic, I think we all came to rely so heavily on this stuff. So many people were working from home, buying new computers. Inevitably, people had things break and then couldn't get them repaired. Not only couldn't find a repair shop that would take them, but also found that, you know, Apple had closed down its Genius Bars, and that even if they could get in there and make the repairs themselves, they didn't have the tools and the knowledge wasn't anywhere on the internet.
You know, this is precisely what happened to me. I was, you know, trying to set up my you know, quarantine home office, was moving my desk around, and boop, my, you know, desktop fell off the desk. And it was right at the height, right? And all the Apple stores and Genius bars were closed. And it was like, you know, sort of, where do we go now? What do we do next? So let's talk about that Fair Repair Act, which was recently introduced in Congress. What would this legislation do?
This would, it's very similar to other legislation that's passed in like Massachusetts around cars, where it makes it so that the manufacturer has to share very basic things with anyone else who wants to make a repair. Now, that could be an independent repair shop owner. It could be an individual who wants to make the repair. But they're calling for, like, say, if you break your iPhone, then Apple would have to provide you with the tools and the diagnostics and, like, any manuals that it had that would allow you to easily, say, replace the screen on your phone or the case if you shattered it. And it has a provision that allows the FCC to fine companies that are not compliant. And it's really kind of that simple.
And does this not run afoul of intellectual property rights?
That is one of the big arguments and big pushbacks from companies like Apple. And there is a carve out in the bill that says anything that involves trade secrets does not have to be shared. But I think you start getting into this tricky situation here where smarter people than me have already figured out how to go in and open up an iPhone and repair it and could replace a screen with an aftermarket screen that's much cheaper than Apple would charge through its Genius Bar or another one of its authorized repair techs, right? The problem comes, you know, and this has actually happened, where people have gotten their screens replaced with aftermarket screens that were much cheaper. And then a few months down the line, Apple pushes in a software update, and then suddenly the touch function on those screens doesn't work. These right to repair laws are meant to prevent companies from like Apple from stopping people from just getting their stuff repaired, frankly, wherever they want to, or doing the repairs themselves.
So these days, I can no longer tell what is going to be a partisan issue, right? Things that I wouldn't expect to be partisan turn out to be. So what about the right to repair? Is this bipartisan in nature, or has this become ideological in any way?
It really hasn't become ideological in any way. Obviously, you have lobbyists on Apple and John Deere. You know, we can get into farm equipment later, who are pushing against this. But this is one of those things where everybody has an iPhone. Everyone's got a computer or laptop or knows someone that has been affected by this. Everyone has busted a phone and taken it in to get repaired to the manufacturer, and they're going to charge them $400 or just ask them to replace the phone, right? When in reality, if they still had one of those little mom and pop shops that could do the repair, they could get it replaced, you know, for $50 and go on about their day. And because of the ubiquity of our technology, I think everyone, when you explain it to them, when they, you know, they really get it. It makes sense.
We've all broken a phone, but we haven't all broken a combine. Can we go back to the farm equipment issue? What's going on with farm equipment?
So this one, I think, is another one of the reasons that this is so bipartisan and people really understand it is because this is affecting farmers. You know, for hundreds of years, farmers have used tractors and they've generally repaired their own equipment or they've had someone in their community that does all the repairs, right? And it's been, the system has worked fine. Well, as technology has advanced, companies like John Deere, John Deere's kind of one of the big drivers of this, have added onboard computers and GPS systems and all this fancy tech to the tractors. And the way they work now is if something goes wrong in the computer system of the tractor, you know, it'll start throwing an error code. And an authorized John Deere tech has to come out there and clear that error code before any repairs can be made on the vehicle. Even if it's a repair that the farmer knows how to do, if they don't have the specialized piece of equipment that allows them to clear that error code, they can't fix the combine or the tractor. And this has led to this really bizarre aftermarket where you've got farmers trying to buy tractors that were manufactured before the onboard electronics started being put on them, because they know they can pay, they'll pay double what it cost in the 1970s to get one, but then they know it's going to run for another 50 years and they aren't going to have to jack with all the computer stuff.
Right, because what we should be doing is definitely making life harder for farmers.
Right.
It's like, yeah, I get now on this sense. Now, what else? So we've got phones, we've got combines and tractors. Let me just say, I recently threw away what felt to me like a completely brand new vacuum because it ceased working. And I was just sort of recalling, growing up as a kid, there was a vacuum repair place in our community. There doesn't seem to be one now. Is it all of these other small electronics as well?
Yeah, it is. All these things have computer systems in them now that make it hard for people to access without a little bit of knowledge of how the electronic systems work. The big one for me, and again, another reason I think that this blew up so big during the pandemic, is medical equipment. So there were ventilators during the pandemic that needed repairs. There were not enough ventilators to go around. There certainly weren't enough repair techs to go around. And the ventilator manufacturers, they wanted authorized repair techs to do the fixes on these machines. And the hospitals, you know, these simple fixes that they could have done, they kind of had to put them by the wayside. And it's not just ventilators. There's some great testimony out of Colorado where they're trying to get similar legislation passed. You had people that had medical devices they were using for mobility or to survive, sharing their stories about living in rural parts of Colorado. One gentleman had a wheelchair that had ceased functioning, and he had someone in his local area that could make the fix, but the people who provided him the wheelchair said, no, we need to send out our repair tech to do it, or you'll void your warranty and we'll never work on the chair again. And he ended up waiting 4 weeks before someone could come out and see his chair. And there were several stories like that.
Matthew Galt is a staff writer at Vice's Motherboard, and I think he might have just turned me into like the Paul Revere of the right to repair. Matthew, thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.